Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Harvard Law School professor Alan Dershowitz, who, by the way, is a Democrat, who has not voted for Trump, and he said he's not going to. He nevertheless said on Monday that Georgia's district attorney, Fani Willis, had indicted former President Donald Trump and 18 others for a conspiracy that was exactly what Democrats did in challenging the 2000 election. He said, the tactics of the Trump team, including claims of fraud, were neither more nor less than what Democrats had done in claiming that the election had been stolen from then Vice President Al Gore by Republicans pushing for then Governor George Bush. You cannot start making crimes out of things that the Democrats did, he said. He also said that the indictments against Trump, both federal and state, were the weakest he had ever seen against any candidate. Now, that includes the criminal indictments by Special Counsel Jack Smith, which have been described as ridiculous, which have been described as grasping for straws by stretching the law. The article by Breitbart, dated August 15, went on to say, the indictment against Trump and others, talking about the indictment in Georgia, claims that acts as mundane as tweeting to turn on the TV, reserving a meeting room, asking for a phone number, were all part of the overall criminal conspiracy. And then they pointed out that more than 150 examples show Democrats denying action and election results, including President Joe Biden, two-time failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Representatives Barbara Lee and Maxine Waters, and failed Georgia candidate Stacey Abrams. In fact, they say, every single Democrat president since 1977 has questioned the legitimacy of U.S. elections. Another law professor, Jonathan Turley, argued the indictment is excessive and dangerous. It essentially criminalizes challenges to elections. They are charging things like the president saying publicly, we need to have a recount. Democrats and Republicans challenge these elections routinely. What is concerning, particularly about this, is that Fani Willis didn't really show any semblance of restraint. She indicted everyone for everything she could think of, he said. Now, let me just interject. She has been known as a Trump hater, and she has been saying for quite a while she will do everything she can to get Trump. Turley went on to say, but having said that, I think that the Trump team has to realize that this is a serious threat, not because of the merits, but because as a racketeering case, it's very hard to take these cases up on appeal before trial. Also, this is not a case that can be dismissed with a federal pardon, whether by Trump himself or by an elected Republican. You see, the basis for this reason, this claimed reason, is that this is a state and not a federal case. Now, Fox News explains that the power to pardon in Georgia doesn't even fall to the governor. Normally, the state governor would have that right, but it falls to a 5-member board. Felons who are seeking pardon by the board must serve their sentence for 5 years before they even can ask for a pardon. Now, let me just say that this claim is not uncontested. Famous attorney and litigator Mark Levin argued that Trump can pardon himself from state charges if he wins the presidency under existing Department of Justice policy. Now, that can be easily changed, unfortunately, but also the U.S. Constitution's Supremacy Clause. Now, Trump could and probably will try to remove the case to federal court because it involves presidential powers. Trump attorney Alina Habay stated that as a deliberate ploy, the state of Georgia is bringing charges against former President Donald Trump that should be in federal court. This was all done by design, according to Newsmax, dated August 15. Now, Breitbart wrote on August 15 that conservative talker Mark Levin criticized the indictment. I am sure enemies are celebrating, and our allies are appalled at what is going on here. People vote for tyranny, and then it's too late. You got people who are self-righteously saying how wonderful the system is. Nobody's above the law. Are you kidding me? This is a grave time in American history, he said. Now, according to Deutsche Welle, dated August 15, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who lost to Trump in the 2016 presidential election and then questioned the outcome, told broadcaster MSNBC the indictment showed that justice in the U.S. was working. Now, she is one to talk. She is one to talk. If justice in the United States was working, she would be in jail for illegally destroying over 30,000 emails, including sensitive and classified documents. Remember how the FBI at the time explained that no serious prosecutor would being a would bring a charge against Clinton for those violations? Yeah, right. Now, in the meantime, they have brought charges against Trump for, in comparison, much less serious conduct, if those allegations were even proven to be true. The Georgia case against Trump should be dismissed for the reason alone that the prosecution posted on their website a draft of the indictment, which then, of course, was picked up by the press, before the grand jury even rendered a verdict, thereby violating, of course, Trump's right to a fair trial. Now, while all of this is going on, just prior, the same day, this happened. Breitbart wrote on August 14 that White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters at a briefing Monday that there was zero evidence that President Joe Biden had discussed or was involved with his son Hunter Biden's dealings. Now, that response is different, the article says, from Jean-Pierre's effort to claim in recent weeks that the president was never in business with his son, which he denied was a change from Biden's own earlier response that he had never discussed his family's business. So he never discussed it, was never in business, zero evidence that he was involved in it, according to these ideas. In claiming that there was zero evidence, Jean-Pierre ignored a mounting collection of evidence, including the following. And then Breitbart lists all kinds of examples. I just want to give you a few. There are many more. Travel logs showing that Hunter Biden traveled to China with his father on Air Force Two before a lucrative business deal. Emails and messages on Hunter Biden's laptop showing that Joe Biden had met with his son's business associates. Evidence from Hunter Biden's laptop showing that he and his father had intermingled their family finances and bills. A voicemail from Joe Biden to his son regarding New York Times coverage of Hunter Biden's business interests. Bank records showing wire transfers from abroad to Hunter Biden via shell companies for distribution to family members. Stating that Joe Biden, that's by Devin Archer, his former business associate, stating that Joe Biden had spoken by speakerphone at least 20 times with Hunter Biden's business associates and had attended a dinner meeting with many of them in 2014. And then, of course, Joe Biden's infamous boast about using the threat of his holding withdrawing $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees to remove a Ukrainian prosecutor who was investigating Burisma for criminal conduct. And of course, Burisma had hired Hunter Biden. And there is a lot more. Zero evidence when it comes to Joe Biden. But then we have Attorney General Merrick Garland's last trick. According to an article by the New York Post dated August 11, he might have just played his last trick card to save Joe Biden. Appointing prosecutor David Weiss as special counsel to delay prosecution of his son Hunter, the article says. Federal agencies and the Justice Department dragged out for 5 years the investigation of Hunter's gun, tax, and foreign influence peddling. The statute of limitations already expired on several of his crimes. Despite a string of crimes that would have sent average Americans up the river for a decade, Biden's Justice Department cut a deal in June that permitted Hunter to plead guilty to misdemeanors, not serve a day in jail, and dodge any other federal charges. That deal collapsed when federal judge Mary Ellen Noriega asked a few questions after she was blindsided by a last-minute sweeping exoneration paragraph added to the plea deal. In other words, the idea was they just tried to flip that one in, and they had an attachment which the judge hadn't seen before the day of trial. And in this attachment, there was an indemnification clause which said that you cannot prosecute Hunter Biden for any crimes he's committed prior to entering that deal. What a joke. What an absolute travesty of justice that would have been. And of course, in claiming an ongoing investigation, the Justice Department can then reject to give any information to Congress because there's an investigation going on. Now, CNN is questioning the appointment of David Weiss as a special counsel. Moderator Jack Tapper said on CNN News Central, and this is according to Fox News dated August 11, "I think there are some legitimate questions about this whole situation. First of all, I do think it's a fair question as to why would U.S. Attorney Weiss be appointed to special counsel? Usually a special counsel is an outside attorney. Now, it has happened before. Durham came from inside, and the Attorney General has a right to do that, but it is odd." Tapper went on to ask why they would stick with a person who was responsible for the colossal failure of the Hunter plea deal, that sweetheart deal we just talked about. He also spoke about the mixed messages regarding Weiss' jurisdiction and whether he already had the necessary power to charge outside of Delaware before he was made a special counsel, recalling that the U.S. attorney had made different claims about his power in private versus in public, according to whistleblowers. The Justice Department and Weiss denied what the whistleblowers were saying, according to Tapper. But this move makes it seem as though, well, maybe the whistleblowers were right. Maybe what they were alleging is true, and he didn't have the ability to charge whatever he wanted to charge, and now he does. So I do have a lot of questions about that, and I do think that some of the political questions being raised by Republicans have merit, he concluded. Now, what he's asking really is the following. Did Garland intentionally lie to us? And in light of all of this, I think it's not a surprise when the Daily Mail, the British paper, wrote this on August 11. "A majority of Republican voters in Iowa believe the pursuit of former President Donald Trump by the FBI and the Department of Justice smacks of Nazi rule in 1930s Germany, according to a new poll for dailymail.com. Some 57% of respondents said they agreed with the statement, the lawlessness of the persecutions of President Trump and his supporters is reminiscent of Nazi Germany in the 1930s. 73% of Trump supporters even agreed with that statement. Now, let me say this. When the majority of Republican voters in Iowa feel that the Justice Department and the FBI are acting like the Gestapo in Nazi Germany, then the confidence by a vast portion of America's population in those institutions is completely gone. And we don't even know how the independents feel. Even some Democrats might agree with that sentiment. Many, such as Republican candidate Ron DeSantis, propose that the Justice Department, the FBI, and many other federal agencies must be freed from their perceived internal corruption by reforming them or purging them by getting rid of the bad guys, starting with the very top. Others feel, such as Republican candidate Vivek Ramaswamy, that these agencies are beyond repair and must be totally shut down. The following end-time scriptures in the first chapter in the book of Isaiah come to mind, and they are talking about today's United States of America. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice. Your princes are rebellious and companies of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. And then this from chapter 3 in the book of Isaiah. They declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err, and destroy the way of your path. And on God's condemnation goes. If you want to really know more about the state of affairs in the United States of America today, please read our free booklet, The Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.